He's amazing, isn't he? Aren't you glad that he loves us with an everlasting, unchanging love? And that his love is not based on our obedience or even our disobedience. He just loves us because he's a God that loves. Amen? And I'm thankful that when he died on Calvary's cross, that he died for all my sins. Not just those. I know I look old, but I wasn't before the cross. I came after the cross. Thank the Lord that he forgives all sin. We are glad that you're here this morning. I feel an enthusiastic bunch. I saw some little hands going up and stuff like that. Take your Bibles if you would go and preach a message this morning that I just feel like I need to preach. So let's turn to the book of Luke, if you would. Yeah, I am so thankful that whenever I was not paying attention to God, he was paying attention to me. And I'm thankful that I was not seeking him, he sought me. Amen? And he caught me as much as I tried to resist it. Luke chapter 16 is where we're going to be reading from. Verse number 19. Let's stand as we read God's word. The Bible says there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto the place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're thankful for the songs we were able to sing together and the song that Dwayne blessed us with. We are so grateful that you are a God of grace, a God of mercy, that you look at us and you know our condition, Lord, and yet you are a forgiving, loving God. I pray this morning, Lord, that everything that would hinder us from worshiping you, of loving you, of serving you, that it might be put aside, that we might be overcomers in those areas that we struggle with. And I pray that through the Word of God today, that, Lord, we would learn to follow you. I pray for an anointing this morning in this place from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I pray every word that I say might be Spirit-fed. And, Lord, I pray under the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God that I would stand here this morning and preach truth. Lord, I pray I'd preach it as a dying man to a dying people. And I pray, Lord, you'd be glorified in everything that is said and done. And I pray for those that are here. I pray that we'd open our heart to be receptive to you. I pray, Lord, this morning, if there's one here lost and undone, does not know Jesus in the full pardon of sin, I pray today you'd speak to their hearts, draw them by your Spirit, unto life. And we honor you, Lord, in all that you do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you this morning on the thought of six things that are in hell that should be in the church. There's a lot of things that goes on. You know, I think this past week has really showed us a thing or two. How quickly life can change. How suddenly, when you think everything is going well, all of a sudden, things are horrifying at times. I've seen some actions this week that was surprising. It wasn't really surprising because I know our hearts are evil. That's what the Bible says. It said they're wicked and we cannot even know our own heart. When things happen, I think the real us come out, don't you? That which we're holding back, that what we're trying to keep hidden, whenever those situations get in the shape that they're in, we become ourselves. And whatever is in us begins to come out. I hope what is in us is the Holy Spirit of God. I hope that's what we're depending on and not our characteristics of who we are or even our goodness of what we do. I just hope that it's the Holy Spirit of God who comes and arrests us and holds us and leads us, guides us, even speaks through us because I believe that he can and he will. Life can change in a sudden instant, can't it? And to think that we have it all under control would be a misstatement for sure. Because we don't have even the next moment under control. The truth of the matter is this world is out of control. Man, has it got out of control. Nobody can control it. There's evil on every hand. All you have to do is cut on the radio and listen. It won't take you long to find out this world's in trouble. And the only thing that can help us is the very thing that they don't want to hear about. And that is salvation through Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can take this world the way it is and completely change it from what it is now and make it what it should be. But we have to look around us and see what we're living in and at least be some type of an example or someone who will at least share the truth with those that are around us so they might hear and believe and they might be drawn to the cross. See, I want us to look at some things. Here we hear the story of Lazarus. Pitiful sounding story. He was so sick, weak, impoverished, his body covered with sores. The Bible said he laid at the rich man's gate just waiting for something good to happen. You know, a lot of times we do that. We'll lay somewhere, not literally physically, but we'll get to a certain place in our walk with God and we'll just lay down, hoping that something else is going to stir us and move us on. But I believe that unless we stay in tune with him, we can be just like Lazarus, only do it spiritually instead of physically. But he laid there and he was needing, and he was sore, he was sick. The Bible said even the dogs would come along and lick his sores. And then there was the rich man. We know the story of that. I was watching a TV show. I like to see that. It's of course, it's on syndicated because it was years ago when he done it. That's Undercover Boss. So I see how some people have it made. Some people do have it made in this world. But see, this world is just very, very temporary. I used to think that 70 was an age that was took years to get to, that it said, you'd never hardly get to that place. But believe me, it don't take it long to sneak up on you. Suddenly, you know, before you realize it, you're not 25 anymore. About 25, your body begins to ache. Places begin to get sore. You can't hardly move your back. That's just the way it goes. The longer we go, the worse we get. And that's the way it is in sin, isn't it? The longer we go, the worse we get. But here this rich man, he had everything that life could give. Everything was at his fingertips. He lived with everything, anything he wanted. And there Lazarus was just outside his gate. Apparently he paid him no attention. Just like we don't pay attention to a lot of folks that are around us today. There's a lot of people that need help. There's a lot of people that need a word because they are discouraged or they are hurting. Or they have no idea exactly what they need. But they need you to tell them that there's a Savior who loves them and that He will come into their life and their life can change. See, we can have Christ living in us and our light might not be shining too bright. We literally can be at that place where we just need some way, somehow, to have a fellowship with Him so that we might be able to be cleansed. Because we get tired, we get weary, and this world will get us dirty at times. That rich man had everything. And the Bible says that that Lazarus died and the angels carried him. I think there's some things that we'll see in this scripture right here that the church should be doing. We've been through a year and some months of don't touch, don't say, don't talk, don't move. And a lot of things have happened. We've had a lot of friends die in the last 15 months. A lot of friends. So a lot can happen quickly. And if you're not careful, the circumstances of life that we're in can hinder us in doing what we know that God has asked us to do because we get too comfortable not doing it. You know, it's comfortable whenever I was sitting at the house on Wednesday night, there in my office at the house, and had that camera right there at me, and I didn't have to go far. You know, I could get up from there, just go right on back in the living room, sit down in that big gulp chair, and just throw my feet up and just have a good time. But you know, it made things easy. Then when we started talking about let's come back on Wednesday night, guess what? I liked sitting at the house. You ever got like that? Where you just like what the situation you've got in. I enjoyed that part. Really did. And getting back out on Wednesday night, that was a task. That was something that it just didn't fit me right because it had been so long since we'd done that. And Vacation Bible School. My gracious alive. I mean, we've always had a great Bible school. And it's coming up. And I want to say this right here. Thank you, guys. I thought we'd have a lot of issues trying to find people to fill the spots. But it happened like that. I want to say thank you for doing that. But we can get to that place where we get too comfortable. Here, Lazarus was in a terrible condition. But when we find him in hell, here's some things that I believe needs to be in our church. First of all, we need to recognize the Father. We need to recognize the Father. We need to know who he is. And we need to recognize him in the way that changes our life, not just while we're in the building, but wherever we at. On the job, in the home, in the neighborhood, down at the grocery store shopping, or at a gas station trying to get gas, that he is what is motivating us. He is what is holding us back, that we might see and recognize who the Father is. I think there's a lot of churches nowadays that has no idea who the Father is because they depend themselves on themselves and their abilities and what they can put together. I had a friend tell me that they worked all week long and to put on a Hollywood production on Sunday morning. And that's what he told me. He said, we work hard at that. We do a good job at that. But he said, but lives are not being changed. I'm thinking, well, why are you doing it then? Why don't you stop doing that, you know, if that ain't working? But we need to recognize God is the author of life and the giver of everything that we have. And we should obey him. We should look at him and see that he is Lord. We need to do just like Lazarus did here. The Bible says in verse 24, and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. To look to the Father and call and ask him to help us in every single thing we do. Whether it's work, whether it's play, whether it's family situations, we ought to be driven and led by the Holy Spirit of God in everything that we do. And unless we recognize that God is the Father, and we miss that opportunity to have fellowship with Him, our lives can fall short of what he has in store for us that was already ours if we would just take hold of it. He's already given that to us. I'm afraid that Christians miss too much of what God has already given us because we're so tied up in this world and what's going on in our life that don't match up with what we think life ought to be. Or maybe I haven't been as successful as what I should have been. But those things can get on us and tie us down to where we don't recognize who God is. We don't recognize that there's a God who loves us and has done everything that he could possibly do by coming to the cross of Calvary and dying for our sins so that we might have a fellowship with him. That's all he wants out of us, just fellowship, to love him, to honor him, to obey him. And one day we're going to have fellowship with him in person. I can't hardly wait for that, can you? I mean, I'm not, it's like a friend of mine, he said that he loved Jesus. He said, I'm ready to go to heaven right now. I really am. I'm looking forward to the time when I see him. And when my time comes, I'm going to take it like a man. I'm going to scream and holler, hold on for everything that I can just a little bit longer. We all want this life. But the truth is, the life we have in Christ is better than this life. We have no idea what it's like. I mean, these things that I'm going to share with you, it's sort of funny that it's to look at it this way, but what we have here is the place of opportunity. And that opportunity is to walk with him, fellowship with him, and get to know him. So that whenever we stand before him, we can hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Because I want to hear those words, don't you? And I understand this. It's nothing that I've done that entitles me to even be there. It's everything that he has done. And Jesus told Nicodemus, it's because you believe. You just believe that in Christ being lifted up. You believe that and you'll be saved. See, it's not of works. But I can tell you what, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit of God, you know what he wants to do? He wants to please the Father. And everything he'll lead you to do or me to do is something that will glorify God. When he gets us off another path, let me tell you, that's not of God. That's not of God. But here, Lazarus got there, or the rich man got there, and he saw and recognized the Father. And he asked for mercy. But the Father said, no. We get what we deserve. Either we love him, serve him, or we reject him, and for eternity we suffer the rejection of God. See, it's not, how do I say this right here? It's not because we've done so many bad sins, horrible sins, because I'm sure we can look at people that sin more than what we have, done things that we wouldn't even have thought about doing. Look at Hitler and all of God's people that he killed. We wouldn't dare think about such a thing as that. But listen, here's the wonderful thing about it. It don't matter what we've done. Nothing, if we had been the best missionaries that's ever existed, maybe you were Lottie Moon or somebody. But it's not what we do. It's who he is. It's who he is. And he is the Savior of the world. Father, give me some mercy. Let me have mercy. We have mercy now. Dwayne sung the song. We have it now. God gives us mercy and grace. And then in verse number 24, we also see that there's repentance. Here the rich man realized there was some repentance needed to be done. First we need to recognize the Father. Then we need to have repentance. Repentance is this. It's not because I got caught doing something. That's not repentance. And so I'm going to say, God, forgive me. That's not what repentance is. Repentance is just simply this. It is recognizing that whatever we've done was a sin against God, not against man. It's a sin against God. I've heard people say prayers that just to me, I thought, well, that's not the way we need to be looking at this thing. I remember when I come under the conviction, the only thing I can think about is the sin that I'd sinned against God. That I'd sinned against God who loved me so much. And it broke my heart. It broke my heart that I had done such a thing as commit sin against the one who loved me. And repentance is simply this: recognizing that I have done evil against God and turn from it. Repentance isn't saying, "Lord, forgive me," and keep on doing what we're doing. It means say, "Lord, forgive me," because from the heart we recognize that we've done evil against God. And when we ask him to have mercy on us, and he does, we should be able to stand and proclaim that he is Lord. Repentance is seeing, believing, and turning from our evil ways. And listen to me, that's hard to do. It's impossible to do because the Bible says we all fall short of the glory of God. So no matter how perfect we are, we still fall short of the glory of God. That's our sinful nature. But if we have repentance, and I believe the church today, worldwide, I'm not saying everybody is not right with God. I'm not saying that at all. Because I believe there's a lot of good, God-fearing, God-loving, God-serving people. But the world is in such a shape. What it needs is the church to stand and cry out for Christ and do what God's called us to do. Not only to share the gospel, but to make disciples of them so that they can do what you're doing. Let me ask you this. If the next generation, if our grandchildren's children are to hear the gospel, how are they going to hear it if the church don't do what God's called it to do today? We'll be like they are over in the Middle East. We'll be running after a different God who's not a God at all. But we need to understand repentance is needed. And then another thing is that he had a concern. He realized, the Bible said that he was in torment immediately. He was in torment. And he was concerned about the needs of his five brothers. He said, just send Lazarus to him. Now here this guy, I can't even imagine what he had, what he looked like. But the Bible says that his whole body was covered with sores. I can just see his old festered up hand, can't you? And the rich man who had everything, whose servants brought him drink from a golden cup, he said, send Lazarus to me. Send him to me for water. Send him to my brothers so that they might hear of this place. In other words, what he saw here was concern for others and a need to share the truth of what was going on, what had happened to him. See, if we believe what the Bible says, if we believe that God is the only hope of the world, if we believe that believing in Jesus Christ is the only hope for eternity, if we believe that with all of our heart, I believe we'll share it. I believe we'll have concern for those that are around us. I believe that when we realize that God loves everyone and that everyone don't realize it. Everybody don't know it. And listen, everybody's not going to believe, but everybody deserves to hear. Amen? They might not all believe, but they all deserve to hear the gospel. Are we doing what we should do? Are we sharing it as we go? Are we living it in our lives so when others see us, that our lifestyle does not call us a liar? I hope we do. And we're the only one that can really answer that. The only ones. But we have to understand that concern that he had for his brothers. Evangelism. I got a book Bailey Smith wrote. Some of you might have it. It was Taking Back the Gospel is the name of the book. About how that we have, and I say we, I'm talking about the church, that we have gone away from evangelism and have found comfort a place to be. So we have to be careful. Have to be careful how we live our lives. Have to be careful that whenever we are a testimony, that we are not a testimony against what our life looks like. That when we speak and share the gospel, someone can hear and your life can verify what you're saying. Because if we share the gospel and they don't hear because of us, and I guarantee you this, if you will live your life in a love for God and share your life with others, share the gospel, share the truth, share the word of God, I guarantee you this, God will bless you. And there will be some people that will come to you when they are in trouble and ask for your help. I guarantee it will happen. Because, see, people just need to know, and the only way they're going to know is when they see. It's not just a lifestyle of evangelism. It's a lifestyle of evangelism and speaking his word. It's by the hearing of the word that people are saved. Not by our goodness, by the word of God. When they hear that, their hearts can be pricked and God can call them. And they'll hear and they'll believe. They might not believe perfect. I know when I got saved, I knew everything. Or at least I thought I did. And realized that I know nothing. But man, what an encounter I had. And you, many of you can stand up and say the same thing. When God came in your life, it was magnificent. That's what the world needs, to see the realness of God. Not just somebody putting on a show. They need the gospel. We need to lose our earthly desires, our earthly views of things. What we need is to just see Jesus. And you might say, well, you know, then we'll be no, I've heard it said, don't be so heavenly minded that you know earthly good. I think when we're heavenly minded and we're serious about this thing, God makes us very capable of living in this world and doing the right thing and caring about others. If the Holy Spirit lives in us, how in the world can we not care about those that are hurting? I don't understand that. I don't understand that. And I know through the years, the ministries we've done, you're the ones who've done it. You're the ones who walked into the prisons and the nursing homes. You're the one who's taken those children by the hand and helped them as they reconnected with their parent. That takes love. That takes a view of something more than just this earth. It takes a view of heaven and the God of heaven. See, there's so many things that we need that points towards Jesus, that takes our life and make it different than what it's ever been before. Now, another thing I think, Luke 26. The Bible says there was a, between us and you, there's a great gulf. So they which would pass from hence cannot. You know, I believe God's people should have a standard. I believe we should have a standard. God expects us to have a standard. I heard an old preacher say this one time. Said that we've lowered the fence so long, for so low, that any hog can walk in. That doesn't sound nice, does it? But the truth is, we need to have a standard of leadership. If we don't have a standard of leadership, that those who hold those particular places, that they are active and working and serving, we need to have a love for those that are around us so that we might be able to share and live our lives, even though we're not worthy. God wants us to be active, not just in church service. God wants us to be active in everything. He wants to be active in our life. This is where we need to be acting for him. And focus in on everything that I do, that it is for him and his glory. I desire nothing of my own. And when we get that type of attitude, God can use you like you've never dreamed possible. God can do things with you that you can't do yourself. I think whenever God gives you something, he gives you something that's not you, but so he can get the glory for it. Most of the stuff that he gives is like that, because he's the one that is worthy, not us. I'll never forget the testimony I heard one time. The lead singer in the group Camouflage. He was a great singer. He had a number 8 hit on the Christian music chart, living in Tennessee, Nashville. He said he was working in a restaurant, and these people come in, and he said, I'd been working all day long, and there was a plate of shrimp. Man, they had piled that plate of shrimp up. He said, and I was starving to death. He said, I thought, well, you know, if I take one of them and eat it, nobody will ever know it. And he said, I started out the door, and the Lord spoke to me. He said, listen, that belongs to him. You serve him, and he will reward you with his tip. But if you take from him, you will be judged yourself. He said, and I thought to myself, that's the way it is with God. We have to give him what is his. We have to glorify him because he's worthy of it. He's the only one that is worthy of it. And he said, I worked the rest of the time that I was in Nashville, that same restaurant. I never thought about taking another shrimp. He said, all I wanted to do was serve God. God had gave him a wonderful talent. What has God given you or me that we're not using for him? Some of you in here are like me. You can talk. You can find people to talk to no matter where you're at. Sometimes we're shy about that. But I guarantee you this, if we will start the conversation, God will lead the rest of the way. He will lead us. He will guide us. So we need to really get our eye on the Father. We really need to submit ourselves to him. We need to have repentance. Is more than just the day I got saved. I don't know about y'all. I've done a lot of sinning since I got saved over all these years. And repentance is needed. Remember what he told the disciples? He told the disciples, you've been washed by the water of the word. You just need your feet cleaned. In other words, we don't have to come back for salvation. But we do need to come back for cleanliness and ask for forgiveness. We should repent often. Well, if you're like me, 100 times a day or something, you know? But we need to repent. That be a process in our life. And we certainly need to care about other people. If we don't care about other people, our heart is cold and needs to be made alive. We need to share the gospel. We need to serve the gospel. And like I always say, the only way that we can serve God is serving other people. That's how we do it. Give them that cold cup of water. Give them that sandwich to eat. Whatever it might be, we just give it to God. And we need to take our eyes off of what is temporary in this earth and put it on the only thing that is eternal. Because see, it don't matter how big our bank accounts are nor how big our houses are. When we die, all that stuff's not going to matter anyway. And it will be nothing compared to what heaven's going to be like. Lazarus found himself in Abraham's bosom, comfortable, cared for. And the rich man found himself in torment. And everything that he could think of tormented him. So let me close by saying this. Examine your own self. Don't think about the one sitting next to you. Examine your own self. And ask the question, do I believe? Do I share? Do I care? And if any of those questions is no, listen to what he tells you. Listen to the call. Because God calls through his word. Amen. Father, we